We're up to Siman Shin Pei. It is on page Resh Mem Zayin. Comes after page 492. We are at the beginning of the Siman, Sif Aleph. Echad b'bnei hechatzer sheshachach v'le'erav im ho'acherim. Very, very simple, practical halacha. Well, I should not say it's practical because it's not really practical. Because the way we make an erev today, this will never happen. We don't. Not everyone contributes towards the erev. Today, one person serves as the host. You pick up a batz of matzah, and we recite the nusach in the siddur. The nusach in the siddur says this erev is for everyone, it's for the whole wide world. Everyone that is in the courtyard, everyone that will come into the courtyard, all of the guests. So the truth is, it's not really practical, at least literally. But of course, the yesodos are essential. So here we have a situation where people were joining together to make an erev like the way it was done in ancient times, the first technique where everyone would contribute a loaf of bread. Everyone would contribute a small amount of food into the basket, and the basket would be stored in one of the homes. And let's say, for argument's sake, there are five people in this courtyard. Four people contribute, and one person, and the bread is stored in the home of one of those four people, and one person forgot to contribute. So there's nothing to talk about at this moment in time. It's not a kosher erev, and the residents are not allowed to carry from their home to the courtyard. That is given. Echad b'bnei hechotzer shochach v'loy erav im ho'acherim oyser aleihem. There's nothing more to talk about. They're not allowed to carry. Ma takonosam. What is the solution? The solution is yivata lohem rishusai. So here we discuss a whole new topic. Bitl rishus. We're going to learn now two different ideas, where you have a courtyard of Jews, and one Jew does not contribute, and we have a courtyard that includes a non-Jew. How do we incorporate the non-Jew into the Eruv? So let's deal first with the Jew who has forgot to join together. There's a solution. There's always a solution to every problem. Almost every problem. The Jew that forgot to contribute on Shabbos itself should say to the other four residents, you know what? I have a home that's worth $1 million. I'm a vatalit. Let it be the property of all of you. Everyone gets a piece. You have four people, everyone gets $250,000. Everyone can go to shul and make a birchas agoyma. Everyone gets a toiv ha'meit and a shachin. Everyone gets $250,000. I'm giving over my home to the residents of this courtyard. I'm the vatal my rishos. Now, I really jumped the gun.
You can't come in. I'm keeping the doors locked.
Okay, I really jumped the gun. Let's really take a step back. When you mevatel your rishus, there are two types of bittel. You can either be mevatel your rights in the courtyard only, but my home is my home. Don't you dare enter my home. Or you can be so generous to be mevatel even your home. Very big difference in what the halacha, what the rules will be. So let's go step by step. So here it says, all it says here in the Mechaber is, Yivata Elohem Rishuso Yimvata the Rishus. Shayoyma, what do you say? First we get into the exact word. Shayoyma, he should say, Rishusi, my Rishus, my rights in the courtyard. Let's focus now on the courtyard only. Mivuteles Lohem is bottle. It's annulled. It's ownerless. Lochem, for you. O kinuya lochem. Or instead of using the word bittel, he uses kinuya, it is acquired by you. That's a very big difference. There's a very big difference between being mafkir, your property, to a person, or transferring it to a person. There are very complicated sugyos in Bava Kamba, Bava Basra. How the world of bittel is not the same thing as a transaction, a king. It's very different, extremely complex. Many different ideas. But here it says you have an option. Either reshusim mevutelos lechem or kinuy lechem, or it's acquired by you. The ein tzarech liknos bekinyin sudei. But you don't need to make a formal transaction. In fact, on Shabbos, generally speaking, you're not allowed to make transactions. There's a prohibition, midrabanan, of engaging in business on Shabbos. If you were to make a formal transaction on Shabbos of a kinyan, that would be a prohibition. Here, seemingly, that's exactly what you're doing. If you're being mevatel your rishus, so you're transferring your rishus to the other four residents of the courtyard, so you don't exist. You're just a guest. You're a guest of theirs. They are your four residents. They own everything in the courtyard, including your home. They own your home jointly. So you are just, or your rights in the courtyard, you're just their guest. You're their guest. So of course you can carry on Shabbos. You don't need to make a kinyan seder. V'yochol levatel af mishetech shachan. This can be done even after Shabbos begins. In other words, before Shabbos begins, of course, ideally you would make an eruv. If you don't, let's say for whatever reason this person is poor. He doesn't have enough bread to contribute towards the eruv. Think of that case. It's Erev Shabbos. Everyone is contributing. Four people contributed. You're the fifth person, and you don't have any bread to give. So if you're not going to give any bread, you're not going to be able to. The Erev is not going to be a kosher Erev. So before Shabbos begins, the solution is just be mevatel Yerusha. Say that my rights in the courtyard are bottled to you. I will serve as your guest. And you would make a kinyan because it's Friday. It's Friday afternoon. So there's no prohibition. Along comes the Mechaber and says, this technique of being mevatel Yerushas works even after Shabbos has begun. Shabbos has begun. And on Shabbos, normally you're not allowed to engage in business. You're not allowed to conduct transactions. For the purpose of the Erev, you can make the transaction. We'll see in a moment why. Forgot.
I understand forgot. Is there any reason why
The Mishnah Berurah brings up your point, and he says, "Lav." It's the first Mishnah Berurah. If you turn back to the previous page, it's a very good point you're making. That it's not. Let's say he did it in Maze. Let's say deliberately he decided, you know what, I do not. Rabbi Yisrael accent. So the Mishnah Berurah says very excellent point. Sifkan Aleph from the previous page. Nokat sheshochach li ashme inon deafilu b'chahay gavna oiser kishle. But the reason why it says forgot was to tell you that don't think that since the whole law of Eruv is only a chumra midrabanan min ha-Torah, there's no prohibition whatsoever to carry from a house to a courtyard. It's from a rishus hayachid to a rishus hayachid, and since in this case 99% of the courtyard joined together, so here Chazal can say since it was an accident we can be lenient and we can say just don't let it happen next time, don't let it happen again. The Shabbos you can carry from your bayis to the courtyard because anyway it's only a chumra midrabanan. No, Chazal say, if you don't make an Erev, you're not allowed to carry from your house to the courtyard, even if it was an accident. And therefore, you need a solution. And the solution is to be mevatel Yerushas. That's why it said the word shochach, to tell you the stringent side. But as far as the halacha is concerned, really, you are allowed to make an Erev, even aval, the Mishnah Berurah continues, aval hu hadin. Even if purposely you decided you're not going to join together, mahani bittel, the bittel indeed works. You can do bittel on Shabbos. Okay, let's go further. Okay, let's look over here. The Mishnah Berurah Gimel, Sifkan Gimel. This is a very important Mishnah Berurah. The Ein Tzachin and Skin the Hu Rak Siluk Rishus of the Alma Shemesalek Atzmo Me Rishusoi. From the Rishus, Kadesh Lo Yesar Layem, or Mehai Taima Mutu Levatel Af Mishatech Shach. So this Mishnah Berurah explains the longest. This is not a real transaction. If it was a real transaction, we were actually giving it to them for real, then you would need to make a kinyan. But that's not what you're doing. What you're doing is you're just removing yourself. There's a difference between being active and being passive. Here, you are more passive than active. I'm not giving you my rishus. Here it is. Take it. It's yours. I'm relinquishing my rights. I'm stepping back. That's weak. Being that it's a very weak type of a transaction, you're allowed to do it on Shabbos, and you don't need a formal kinyan. Just words alone are enough. Okay, then it goes on to say the imdar. Okay, so this can be done on Shabbos. Now there is. Let's just see over here. Let me just see if I forgot anything in the dirshu. Something important in the dirshu. Okay, let's look over here. Number two. Okay, number two. On the right side, begeder bittul reshus kosaf ramban she bebittul eino mafkir espeso. He's coming over to supplement what the Mishnah Berurah said, that you're being masalik Yerushas. You're not even being mafkir your home. Ela shela oso yom, that day only on Shabbos, oiker data milodur im hashutafim, kidei sheyiyu heim kumo shedarm levadam. Umashmos tovarav she'ein inyon shel bitl ela shekaveh bedaito shediyurov bimokoim eina mitaras keva. Shamavatel Havi Oireach, he's just a guest, Klapi Misha Bitul Avuro. So he's saying something that is fascinating. According to the Ramban, it's not even the Silik Rishos, it's even less than Silik Rishos. It's nothing permanent. It's only for today. Today I don't view myself as a permanent resident. Today I view myself here as only as a guest. Now we learned this a few weeks ago, that when, let's say, the person has a home, but he's not living there on Shabbos. He doesn't live there. He's out of town. He went out of town for Shabbos. Then there's no problem. Then you are allowed to carry from the people who are living in the bayis are allowed to carry from their home to the courtyard, even though number five has not contributed towards the Erev. How could that possibly be? But the area is shared by five people, and number five has not contributed. The answer is the laws of Erev are very lenient. We're not dealing with a legal law that this courtyard legally is shared by five people. No, it's there are five people who are currently living practically. It's a practical law. There are five people today on this Shabbos who are living in the courtyard in their homes to go into the courtyard. If one of those five people is on vacation in another country and he's not coming here for Shabbos, it's not an issue. He doesn't count. Oh, but he owns the property. The property is worth millions of dollars. He's not giving this up. Legally, on the books, this courtyard has been shared by five people. It's irrelevant. What the halacha of Erev Chatzeres is a practical halacha. Is there another person that's going to come out of his house and walk into the courtyard on Shabbos? If the answer is yes, he must contribute. If not, not. That's why here it's so easy to rectify the situation. Number five, not only doesn't have to give up his courtyard to the five people, not only doesn't he has to relinquish his rights, it's even less than that. Basically, according to the Ramban, it's a little bit different than what the Mishnah Berurah is saying, but the way it's explained by the Ramban, the way the Dirshu is bringing this down, is you're just going to view yourself this Shabbos as a guest. I don't consider myself the Shabbos, you have to make that statement, to be a permanent resident here for Shabbos. I'm a problem because I'm going to prevent you four people from carrying. So I'll step back. I'll be your guest for the Shabbos. It's a very light type of, it's just an attitude issue. And that's why it's enough to declare this with words, and a formal transaction need not be done, because you're not even doing it more than one day. That's what it says here in the Ramban. It's a very interesting idea. Then he goes further, So let's leave that for a few moments. So let's go back to the Mechaber. The Mechaber over here on the next page 494, says, if this person is living with four or five people, he must be mevatel every single one. Shiyama, according to the Mechaber, is very strict. Even the sense over here, we've been very lenient. All you need to do is say words. But the words that you recite must be to every single one, every single of the residents in the courtyard. Shiyomar, you should say, Rishusi mivuteles licha ulicha. You have to say to every single one. If there are four people in the courtyard, you must say to every single one, Rishusi mivuteles licha, 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 licha. Every single one. Why can't you just say Rishusim Mivuteles Le Kulchem? No. Because Kulchem means the majority. It's bottled to most of you. When you say Kulchem, does not necessarily mean every single one. That's according to the first opinion in the Mechaber. Along comes the second opinion in the Mechaber. Yesham, some say Shaddai, Shayoimar, Rishusim Mivuteles Le Kulchem. You don't have to say Lecha, 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 Lecha. It's enough to say lekulchem. That's good enough in the situation. Now, what's the difference? I'll give you. He brings down the dirshu. He brings us down. We say in Shemona Esrei in Rosh Hashanah, miloich al kol ha'olam kuloi. Why do you have to say miloich al kol ha'olam kulo? Once you say kol ha'olam, the entire world, that's everything. Teretz is, kol does not necessarily mean 100%. Kol means, in halacha, the majority. So if you say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Meloich, al kol ha'olam, what you can be saying is, Ribbono Shel Olam, just rule over the Arabs and this nation, that nation, but us, leave us alone. We'll do what we want.
He seems firm. Called by Hasholim.
Yeah, the called by Hasholim. Not just Roif, everything. In order to explain, to modify kol to mean 100%, not 80%, you have to add the word kuloi, miloich, rule, be a king, al kol ha'olam, on the entire world. And when we said the entire, we don't mean the majority, we mean kuloi, 100%. That's a very famous svar. They say that in Tanya, he even brings it down here in the Dershu somewhere. I saw this here in on the right side. Let me see if I could find it. Here, number 5. Look at number 5. On the right side. On the left side. V'ataz hoisef. Shezehu ma'ash oimri benusach atil roshan meloich al kol ha'olam kula. Shalchoira. Who kafal lashon? Why the repetition? Ella shekol ha'olam efshul faray shakavon erak al roiv ha'olam. Shere rubai kikuloi. V'chein kafal malashon al kol ha'olam kuloi. Loimar shekavonasai al kol ha'olam hamish. Okay, so it's that. So here, that is exactly this. From here, when it comes to the courtyard, there are 4 people in the courtyard. There are 5 people. One forgot. He asked to be battle with Shus. Does he have to say l'chol, 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 or it's enough to say kula? There are two opinions in the Mechaber. The first opinion says it's not enough to say kula, you have to say l'chol, 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 l'chol. And the second opinion says, b'eruvi chatzeros, you can be lenient. When you say kulchem, it means all of you, and you don't have to get yourself all worked up about this.
In Aleph, he yeah. said, he says, reshuti mevutalet lachem, or... So, how many people were we talking about then when we said lachem?
So, it's where?
What are you
referring to?
On the previous page.
No, it was just very abstract. Here he's coming to fill in the details.
Oh.
So, there he just said that you have to do bittul rishos, period. Now we're discussing the details. How does one do bittul rishos? So, you have to have a choice. Either you say mivuteles or kenuya. And the question now is, do you have to say kulchem, or is the kulchem enough, or must you say lecha lecha? That is the two opinions in the Mechaber, the Mishnah Berurah Paskins, like the lenient opinion, it's enough to say the word kulchem. Okay, now we come to the next part. In Bitl Rishusa, now here this is important, the second line. In Bitl Rishusa Stam, Loi Bitl El Rishusha Yeshla B'chotzer. Well, if you just stand Mavadl Rishus, all that you are Mavadl is your Rishus in the courtyard. Hilkoch there, for in other words, your home is private property. They have no right to come into your home. No person is not so generous to say, oh, I have my $1 million home. It's yours. Everyone here for Shabbos can have it. That's not realistic. So what are you doing? What you're really doing is you're saying that for the Shabbos, my rights in the courtyard are relinquished. So, therefore, what are the consequences? Hilkach. Hey, mutarim, they are mutar, they are permitted, lohaitzi mi batayim lechot, so they can bring objects from their homes to the courtyard. The gamhu, he also can go into their home and take their utensils and bring them to the courtyard, because shu orech ba'alma. Because for this Shabbos, he is considered a guest. Aval asudim lohaitzi mi beisoy lechot, but he's not allowed to take from his home to the courtyard. Just because he becomes a guest doesn't mean that he gave up his home, and his home is their property. His home is now isolated, it's quarantined. He's not allowed to take anything from his home and bring it into the courtyard, because he has no rights in the courtyard. He is a resident of theirs, and his home has to be locked up. The gamhu, they are not allowed to take from his home to the courtyard. He's also not allowed to take from his home to the courtyard, or vice versa, take from the courtyard to his home. The yeshayimrim, some said that in order to bring out this point, you have to go a step further, you have to be careful to lock his house. His home must be locked up. So you should not accidentally take something from his home into the courtyard, or take from the courtyard into his home. He has to show that he is mevatel his rishus. That means he has no rights in the courtyard. His home is completely isolated, so the door of his home must be locked up. The yesh ayimim shetzorch linol beiso kedei shelo yovei lahotzi beiso should not come and take out beiso. For lo yiftechena, and the only time he opened the door was only for the few moments when he goes out of his home, when he walks in and walks out. He obviously is still sleeping in his home. So for the split second that he goes out from his home into the courtyard, of course he can open the door. But otherwise the door must remain locked. If he lives in the courtyard where it was common, he needs air, right? It's hot. And every Shabbos, it's very common for the door to be wide open, not this Shabbos. On this Shabbos, the door must be kept shut in order to show that his home is separate. He has lost his rights to carry from his home into the courtyard because he has relinquished his rights in the courtyard. The Gamble, Vieshim, some say, should suck, Lino Basil, Kadesh, Lo Yavalo, to be a servant, Lo Yif, Tachenu, Elo, Kishorets, Lot, Says, Vlovo, Vien, Olena, he shall lock it up, Miyod, immediately, Achat, Says, Ubo. Base in Bitul Hem Gamishus Base. So now let's say the person is so generous. We just finished learning that if he says Rishusi Mugutelislach, Rishusi Kinuyalach, that all that is Stam is the Chotzer. The bias has to be locked. But if he actually says I'm a Vatal, my bias as well, then it works. In Bita Lachem Gam Rishus Besoy. Ah, that's a whole different story. Then Mutarim, it's Mutar Gabein Hu Bein Gabein Haim, Lahitzi Lachotzer. Then they can carry, he can carry, they can carry from his home to the court, from the court to his home. Bein Beso, Bein Beso, Bein Botahem, from his home, from their homes to his home. Once you give up your home, then you are a guest. Your home is no longer your home. For this Shabbos, your home belongs to the other residents of the courtyard. You're all one big happy family, and he is a complete guest. Gimel. In Ein Eretz Levatel Lachem Rishus. So if he does not want to Levatel Rishus, Ela Lehaskiro, but he wants to rent it to them, Yesh Oymrim Shemoel Kamoi Bittel, V'yesh Oymrim She'ein Emo. Now here we're getting into, we need some Hagdama. This is what we're going to learn about a Goy, a non-Jew. Okay, so which we're going to learn soon. That's coming up in the next segment. And this is very practical. This is very practical. We make an eruv chatzeros. We have a courtyard. We have a community, like any community. There are, of course, non-Jews living in the community. So even though you put up telephone poles and you put up a tzuras pesach, we have the losos, and you have the best possible solution to enclose a community with an eruv, you have to make the eruv chatzeros, right? There are two parts of the eruv. There are the walls, the four walls, and then there is the Eruv Chatzeros. What happens if a Jew does not contribute? That will never happen, because we today have solved that problem. One person picks up a box of matzah. As long as the box of matzah has 18 kezesim, that's it. It's good for a million people. And that you're the host. You give it to the entire community. Whoever lives here, whoever will live here, all of the guests, so on and so forth. All the Jews are included. But what about the non-Jews? There are non-Jews that are living in the community. So when you take from your home into the courtyard, you're taking from a reshus that's exclusive to yourself, mm-hmm. to a reshus that's shared by all of the Jews, one entity, plus all of the goyim. How do you deal with all the goyim? So the answer is you have there. There's no din of bittul. The goy, there's no halacha where a goy can say, "I love you so much, I'm mevatel my reshus to you." Doesn't exist such a concept. Even if the goy tries to do this, I'm not even sure it works. I think we'll come across it doesn't work. There's no such thing of a goy being mevatel his reshus to the Jews. You have to give the goy money. You have to rent. You have to rent his property. You have to give him money, and you have rights in his property. So by having rights in his property, basically he's your tenant. So once again, we're all one big happy family. Many goyim, when they hear this, what? I'm giving up my. They get very disturbed. I remember when my father was not well. I did mechiras chametz. I did mechir for my father. So I sat shul. People came to me for mechiras chametz, and you know, so I have all the regulars from the shul. My father's for 30 years, and then there was some people. You know, every year you get people that they're not. 100, not yet 100% religious. And he asked, what's it all about? So I said, I explained to him in detail that I explained to him in detail that, you know, this is a Jew. Remember, this is a Jewish person who is not 100% religious. He happened to be in the neighborhood. He comes to shul once in a while to see what's going on, an Orthodox shul. I said, on Pesach, you're not allowed to have chametz. But there are, people have valuable chametz, liquor, and some people have chametz gomor, and they don't want to throw it out. So you sell it to a non-Jew. So here are the documents. You write down your name, your address, and you describe exactly where the chametz is stored. And that's not enough. You have to rent the place where the chametz is resting. Because there's a halach in Shulchan Aruch that you're not allowed to have someone else's chametz in your reshus. So after you sell the chametz to the non-Jew, fine, you've taken away one prohibition of owning chametz on Pesach, but you're violating a rabbinic enactment of storing a non-Jew's chametz in your possession. You must rent the closet or the shelf or the cabinet where the chametz is stored. So he says, so he looks like, this is like a professional, like you need, as I said, it's right, these are legal documents, this is the real deal. You write down your name, your address, location, and we have a non-Jew, and we conduct a transaction, we do 7 kinyanim with the non-Jew to make sure that according to Jewish law, and does this work according to secular law? I said, absolutely, it's good according to state law, according to... So exactly what he did. And then he's sitting there, and he asks me to explain it to him again, and he's looking at the documents, all the signatures, and again and again. And then he says to me, you know, I just don't feel comfortable about doing this.
I don't... make it ice harama. That's what you were trying to do.
I was being very honest with him. And I said, if you don't feel that's fine. And he got up and he walked out. And you know something? I felt very good. I mean, unfortunately, I don't get chametz. I can't, you know, it's not his fault to nishta nishta. But I felt good, like, you know, like this is the real thing. I scared him to the point. He felt, who knows, legally, who knows, he felt that the God will come, the non-Jew will come into his home, and who knows. But he really... So this is a Jew... Can you imagine, this is a Jew, I tell him, we're renting the cabinet where the chametz is stored to a guy, you're going to write down your name, and this is for real. The guy told me, if the guy wants, he can come on Pesach into your home, and he can take away the chametz. It's his property. And I scared him so much that he really took me literally. So you could imagine, a guy, you tell a guy, listen, we want to carry on Shabbos, this is New York City, we want to carry on Shabbos, you're a problem, so we're gonna sign the document. We'll give you $5, and today's day and age, you know, give $5, and you'll be our tenant. Ooh.
Isn't that how Manhattan was acquired?
What?
Isn't that how Manhattan was acquired?
So this is serious business, and okay, so that's what we're going to learn about that a little bit later on. But the Mishnah Mechaber is bringing up a very important issue. Can we mix and match? Let's say the Jew wants to behave like a goy. The Jew doesn't want to be generous and be mevatel his reshus to someone else. The Jew wants to behave like a goy and rent his property to the other residents of the courtyard in order to join together in the Erev. Do we allow? Is this permitted or not? So that's what it says over here in Bitulam. That's what it's gimel. In Einu writes levatel reshus ella lehaskiroi. He wants to rent it. He wants to behave like a guy and rent his property to the other residents, the other four residents. The other four residents will give him a few dollars and he will rent out his property. He will then be their tenant, like what we do for a guy. So this is a disagreement among the commentaries. Yeshayim, some say, Shemoyel, k'may bitla works. V'yeshayim, mem she'enema, let's see Yud Gimel. Yud Gimel Shenemoyel Svilhu Deloy Tiknus Chirus Ella Be'akum. You're not allowed to mix and match. There are very strict guidelines, only by non-Jews. Avaloy B'Yisrael. The Ayim B'Achronim Shechosru Limsoy Tam Lezeh. They searched. It's not so simple. It's not so simple. We'll read over here. There's a very long dirsh. We'll read in a moment. They searched to find a reason why it should not work. Why not? What's the difference? Just because Chazal only made this by a guy, because a guy, there is no other choice. You have no other option. There's no way in the world a goy is going to be mevatel just to a Jew. So the only option by a goy is schirus. But once schirus works by a goy, why can't it be used by a Jew as well? So he says the following compromise: that during the weekday before Shabbos begins, of course, if the Jew wants to rent out his property to the other residents of the courtyard before Shabbos begins, gesunte heit, give him a few dollars, and halachically he'll be the landlord. So he'll be the tenant. Yochel haska deloy gara mi bittel. It's no worse than bittel. Avol de b'Shabbos also liskar tohave kimekach memkar. But on Shabbos itself, we just learned that if on Shabbos if you have this problem, on Shabbos itself you're allowed to be mevatel yerushos. Because bittel is not a real kinyan. We learned the Ramban, where the Mishnah Berurah says that you just siluk, you just relinquishing your rights in the courtyard. And the Ramban made it even lighter. You're not even really relinquishing. It's attitude. You're viewing yourself for this Shabbos only as a guest. You'll close your door. It's a very light type of relinquishment. And that's why it works even on Shabbos. And you don't need to make a kinyan sudur. And you don't... But schiros, that's the real deal. You give money, or you give an item of value, or if you don't even give money, you are meshabed yourself. It's like a loan. It's a loan. I accept upon myself the responsibility. We accept upon ourselves the obligation to pay you when Shabbos over $10, whatever the amount of money is. That's the real business deal. And business is also on Shabbos, even when it comes to this type of mitzvah, Allah, and that's why the Magen Avraham says you cannot do schiros on Shabbos itself. On Shabbos itself, after you find yourself in this situation, the only solution is to do bittul. Well, in halacha, ha'el yirab ha'pasak, the ain schiros melos v'yishol klav. He holds that doesn't work, never. The Eli Rabbi, the Mishnah brings different opinions, as he does sometimes. He holds it should never works altogether. So the Mishnah Berurah, he leaves it hanging. The Mishnah Berurah seems to say that you can do it during the weekday. If you want to do it during the weekday, make some type of... Obviously, we're not doing a real schius. If we're not doing over here, you have an apartment, the market value for the apartment is $3,000 a month, we're going to pay you $3,000 a month. Obviously, that's not what we're doing over here. I'm giving you $5. We have over here a situation of five people, and today it's totally like nogeg by a Jew, because a Jew would have a host. One box of matzah, covers the whole problem for everyone. But let's say Lu Yitzu, you have a situation where everyone is contributing, and there's one stubborn guy, he doesn't want to give a loaf of bread. So what's the solution? Either he should mevatel rishus. No, I don't want to be mevatel my rishus. I want money, schirus. So how much is your apartment? What's the market rate for to rent out your apartment? Oh, $3,000 a month. We're not giving you $3,000 a month so we can carry from our house to the courtyard. We'll give you $5 a month. We'll give you $5. For a year, we'll give you $5. Is that schirus? It sure is. It's halachic schirus. It's halachic schirus. Does it work? Chazal never misake in schirus for an eruv chatzeros. The Mishnah Berurah says they have two opinions. Some say yes, some say not. And Shabbos itself definitely doesn't work. Shabbos already has begun, and this guy doesn't want to be mevatel rishus. He wants money. He wants us to guarantee that when Shabbos over, we'll give him $5. No, everyone agrees it's not going to work. If we do this before Shabbos for the whole year, two opinions. Some say yes, some say not. That the Mishnah Berurah seems to be machri that it's mutter. You can do it before Shabbos for $5. Of course, I mean, if you want to do it for $3,000, that's for real. We're talking about a lump of schiros. For $3,000 a month, for sure it's going to work. For $5, that's our whole issue. Okay, then let's just see over here. Let's just see over here, very quickly, a few points of the dear issue on the side. Dear issue is Ayin Be'achorim Shechoshu Limso number 10. Shechoshu Limso Tamil said, why not? Why should schiros not work by a Jew? If it works by a guy, why are Jews worse? You're not going to go through all of them because some are very complicated. But let's just see what he says over here. We find many differences why it should not work. Number one is the halavush kasaf. Shenir hadavash ein oises aschirus be'ain yofe el shenosan ena b'mamon sheikhal banaschirus. It's not a real schirus. It's he's looking for money. So because he's looking for money, it's a kucho tlula. It's not for real. If you say, it's very interesting psychological insight. When you mevatel your shos, It's for real, because you're not getting anything. I'm not getting anything in exchange. So it shows that I'm sincere. I am number five, I have not contributed. Al mevatel my reshus. What have you got in exchange? Nothing. And you're still doing it? It must be you're sincere. But if I'm getting $5, I'll take the money. Yeah, my reshus, it's your problem. There's no gemira stas. You're insincere. You're giving me $3,000 and you're moving in. Okay, so that's business. That's you give me $5 to rent my reshus to you. I'm taking the money. Am I really sincere in giving it, relinquishing my reshus to you? No. Very interesting insight. That's what the Lord seems to say. Okay, this is like a real technical type of answer. There's a difference between a goy and a Jew when it comes to something that's less than a pruta. And that is, by goyim, we have all over the place. A goy is machshiv less than a pruta. If a goy steals less than a pruta, he's chayiv misa. Technically speaking, that's not obviously something which can be taken literally, but a goy less than a pruta by a goy is significant. If a Jew steals less than a shava pruta, he's potter. What's the difference? Because by Jews, we have much bigger hasagas. you have big hasagas. Money is only money if it's significant. It has to be, okay, whatever, there's a shear. That's the way it is. Forget about the psychology behind this. If there is psychology, it's halacha. By a goy, money is, all the laws of mammon apply to some that's less than a pruta. By a Jew, they do not apply to some that's more than a pruta. Therefore, if we're going to apply the rules of schiris then that were established for goyim to Jews, we're going to get into a lot of trouble. Because when we do schiris by a goy, we give him a penny, half a penny, less than a pruta, and halach has been achieved. If we're going to borrow from that and give another Jew pachas yishav and pruta, doesn't work. Because by a Jew, pachas yishav and pruta is invalid. So we're going to start mixing and matching. We're going to get into trouble. Therefore, Chazal just put an end to it and said, "Don't do it." Let's read inside. Why? She'ein pachos mishaver pruta nechshav lemamon etzlo. She'chashashu shema gam ha'yishol yisro pachos mishaver pruta, because we're afraid that you're going to get confused, since 90% of the time it's schiris by a goy, and it's less than pruta, here you're losing by a Jew. V'chein ber ha'shiyari karbon es divrei Yerushalmi, she'pasach she'ap b'chol ein mo'el l'schem yishol, lo'yklog, don't confuse the two together. Okay, then Gimel is a very confusing thing which we'll take half an hour to explain. So therefore we'll leave that and we'll pick up tomorrow with the next Sif Dalet.